intended to lead his generals into the cathedral, but his brother, Joseph, and Talleyrand had urged him to present the coronation as a primarily civilian celebration. Even though the army had been the means by which Napoleon had risen to power over France, it was important that he present himself to the world as a political and not a military leader. Talleyrand still held out hope that a lasting peace might be achieved in Europe, as long as the other powers could be persuaded that the new emperor was a statesman first and a soldier second. After so many years of war, the short-lived Treaty of Amiens had given the people an appetite for peace and stability. Stability, above all, and that meant the establishment of a new, permanent form of government. Napoleon had prepared the ground skillfully, proceeding from consul to first consul, then first consul for life, before he presented the people with the opportunity to approve his assumption of a new throne. Of course, the senators had dressed it up as a necessary expedient to protect the Republic from its foreign and domestic enemies, but the Republic was no more. It had died in the birth throes of the Empire. Already, Napoleon had surrounded himself with the gaudy panoply of royalty and whittled down the powers of senators, tribunes, and representatives of the people.